Well, good to be with you guys tonight. How are you doing? You doing all right? Good. Love to be in this place with you. Like Marvin said, love to worship with you. My name's Matt, one of the guys on staff. I'm going to carry us through the teaching part of our time tonight. Before we do that, though, Marvin mentioned that retreat that our 6th, 7th, and 8th graders are on and asked us to be praying for them. And I thought, let's just pray for them while we're together tonight here. And what I want you to do, and in fact, think about how many of you have been on retreat before and what an impact that has had. Anybody ever had just an impact in your life from a retreat? Your life was never the same. Just think about what those kids have opportunity for this week and what you would ask God to do with those kids this weekend. Just think about that for a minute. Let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, we do lift up those kids, 113 of them, and all of those leaders that are with them. We thank you, God, for the opportunity, even as Alex reminded us, the liberty that we have to do something like that, for those kids to go away and know you more and worship you and build friendships with others who are chasing after you. I ask that you bless every one of those little boys, little girls. God, that you captivate their hearts, that you inspire them in worship, that they hear the truth of your word and that their lives would never be the same again. We pray you bless the speaker, you bless the staff, you bless the volunteer leaders. Let it be a weekend that they never forget, a memory made with you, God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you know we've been in this series on the topic of marriage. We've looked at the importance of priorities in marriage. Remember who your number one is and who your number two is. That God is worthy of being first in your life and in your marriage. Then last week, Tom talked about pursuit in marriage. A pursuit being a lifelong commitment to pursue one another. I heard Paul Reiser, the comedian, one time, he said moving from dating to marriage is like you woo and you woo and you woo, and then you gotta say whoa. But we talked about last week, no, don't say whoa. Keep pursuing your spouse. Do not become complacent in mediocrity, but pursue one another. This week, as we move forward in the series, we're going to talk about the vow of purity. Before I get any further, I want to let you know also that class that we were offering, The Meaning of Marriage, we've been announcing it the last few weeks. We had 200 people sign up for that and start this past Monday night. And we had a waiting list and a bunch of people call and say, is there still room? So we're going to start on this coming Monday. We've got room for 50 more of you. So if you missed registering for that, you can still sign up and participate in The Meaning of Marriage. But tonight we're going to talk about the vow of purity. What does the Bible say to us about sexual desire in both our single and married life? So we're going to talk about sex in church tonight. And if that makes you feel uncomfortable, well, me too. But we're going to talk about it anyways, because we need to. Just be honest. Sex is displayed in the films we watch, the books we read, the news we see, and the billboards over our neighborhoods. We're confronted with sexual desire every day, whether we're single or married. It is part of the human experience. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. And in pursuit of life with Jesus, we need to talk about what life with Him means for our sexuality. Highly sensitive topic. Talking about sex will be easy for some, not for others. Some of us can have an open and frank conversation about it. For some of us, it reaches to a deep vulnerability. My prayer, honestly, has been this week, and my prayer tonight is still that God will help me speak a message of hope that calls us to purity so that we are convicted and encouraged by God's Spirit tonight and not confused or condemned by one another. So, you ready to jump into this? We have to start, I believe it will be helpful for us to start here. We need to start with an acknowledgement, a kind of mass confession. And here it is. As a human race, we have a problem with purity. The recent Me Too hashtags are evidence enough of this. And the stories of sexual misconduct and assault are all symptoms of this problem that we have with purity as a human race. The truth is so much bigger and deeper than the stories being told. So to talk about purity in marriage, we have to start here. Apart from Jesus, we have a purity problem. If you want to look in your bulletins and fill in some notes as we go along and look at the scriptures, you can. I know that may sound like a bold place to begin, but I believe it's important that we start there. Did anyone else notice that the same month that the news broke about Harvey Weinstein's indiscretions, all the major media outlets had been honoring the passing of Hugh Hefner as an American icon? There's something wrong with that. And while our social media is full of Me Too stories about sexual harassment and abuse, I read an article this past week that yet again this year, the Playboy Bunny was one of the top five Halloween costumes. Does anybody else find that disturbing? Somebody's calling about it right now. These are symptoms that we have a problem with purity. And it's not just out there, and it isn't just a few. It's part of the human predicament. We could go around this room tonight and tell story after story about how we have seen in our own lives that taking God's boundaries for purity out of the equation only leads to conflict and confusion. Let me give you a couple of other symptoms of this problem that we seem to have with purity. One is the growing trend of living together before marriage. And it isn't just a growing trend of that happening, but it is the growing social acceptability of that practice. Test-driving marriage. Living together first to see, are we compatible before we show up at the altar? And it sounds so reasonable until you consider the evidence that couples who live together before marriage are 33% more likely to divorce. And that's on top of the fact that 50% of couples who live together before they get married never actually make it to the altar. So living together before you get married just increases the chances that it's not going to work out and that you're not going to be married. So living with your girlfriend or boyfriend before you get married is actually more risky than just choosing to commit to marriage. But this normal storyline in our TV shows, our movies, our books, and in some of our lives has become socially acceptable, even though it is a failed theory based in confusion, because we have a problem. with purity. Let me give you another symptom of this problem. The number one word that people now search for on the internet is sex. Number one word searched for on the internet. 60% of the websites that are visited are adult websites. 77% of those searching for pornography on the internet are men, and 33% are women. And the number is rising of those who consider viewing pornography to be harmless. The attitude is more and more common that boys will be boys and girls just want to have fun, even though we know that this kind of behavior ultimately leads to objectification, sexual misconduct like harassment and assault, broken marriages, broken hearts, broken families, broken promises, lack of trust, fear of commitment, and I could go on. Those are the destination points. Nowhere we would say we want to be. This problem that we have with purity is what enslaves us to sexual appetites. It is what defines us by what arouses us. It victimizes us by unrestrained actions. And at some point, we all know that there are boundaries. At some point, we all know there must be a line drawn somewhere, but without the Bible, we can't agree on where. We don't know who gets to draw the lines. We try to draw them ourselves, and most days we live blind to the consequences until we run headlong into them, going 90 to nothing, and suddenly we are forced to take stock of what we've given away and what we've lost and what we've wrecked. We justify and normalize objectification and fantasy and try to convince ourselves that it's harmless. We find ways to cross boundaries, hide habits, justify behavior because we have a purity problem. If you're single and you're thinking, well, Matt, if I could just get married, then I wouldn't have a purity problem. If that's what you're thinking, I just want to tell you that your marriage will be as pure as you are. And that's a hard truth to swallow, but it's the truth. Purity is something that we have to figure out whether we are married or not, because it is a human problem. It is human to have a problem with God's standard of purity. Don't be so naive to think that because we're in church right now, we aren't men and women who have a problem with purity. And just in case you're here and you're thinking, Matt, I'm innocent of all this. I'm pure as fallen snow. Then God bless you, but you're sitting in a room with people who need help. Listen, I believe the Bible is right when it says all have fallen short of God's glorious standard. And I believe Jesus when He said, I've come to call sinners and to seek and save what is lost. In fact, there's this wonderful story in Scripture. Some of you know it. When Jesus encounters a woman caught in the act of adultery, right in the act of adultery, she's caught. And those who catch her in this act, they are religious people, they are pious people, they hate what she is doing, and they get ready to stone her to death. In this attitude that if you've blown it, there's no hope for you, but then hope steps in. God in flesh, Jesus, steps in on the scene and He says, wait a minute. Before you throw a stone at her, let's form a line. And the one who is sinless and innocent is going to go first. And some of you know the story. Not a stone was thrown at her because no one but Jesus fit that sinless and innocent standard. And He came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. You know what I love about Jesus? I love that He showed us God's love by living among people with problems. Healing, rescuing, and loving people with problems. Jesus showed us God's love by walking among people like you and me and saying, there's another way and you're invited. There's another way and you're invited. So what is that other way? If we are a people with a problem with purity, what is the way that Jesus invites us to? What does Jesus say about purity? Here's what He says. He says it's a heart issue. Purity is a heart condition. So often we make purity about our physical behavior or our thoughts and emotions, but it begins in our heart. It begins with our attitude toward God. That's where your purity begins. Jesus says it like this in Matthew's Gospel, the 15th chapter. He says, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person." It's a heart condition. What you believe, what you think about, what you feel, what you desire, what you regret, what you're ashamed of, what you expect from others, and what you assume, all of that is going to surface and show up in our relationships. And all of that will shape your life as a single or a married person. Jesus says it is out of your heart that your choices are made. It is from the inside out that a marriage gets made. It is from the inside out that a marriage gets made, because it's a matter of the heart. Earlier in that same book, in Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God." Purity flows from the heart. When your heart is pure, then your behavior and your thoughts and your emotions can all flow from that purity. But if we have a problem with purity, then it is a problem with our hearts. And what can we do if we have a heart problem? How can we change our hearts? You ever seen silver pulled out of the ground before? You ever seen just raw silver come out of the ground when it's harvested? It's really interesting. In fact, I looked this up on YouTube. You can look at some cool videos of how they harvest silver. When they first pull silver out of the ground, it just looks like a rock. You wouldn't even think it was silver without your eyes being trained to it. It isn't just silver. In fact, when it comes out of the ground, it's silver mixed with all kinds of other substance. It isn't pure silver when it's taken out of the ground. It only becomes pure silver in the hands of someone who knows what they're doing. You should look this up and watch the videos. If we had time, I would have shown one. But this stuff comes out of the ground dirty, mixed with all kinds of content. But in the right hands, a dirty mixture of rock can become purified and polished into a beautiful piece of silver. Because silver has a purity problem, just like us, unless it is purified by the hands of someone who knows what they're doing. We often think that we start out pure and innocent, and then our outward choices mar us and tarnish us until we're no longer pure. But the truth is that our hearts are only pure when they are purified in the Master's hands. Our hearts are only pure when they're purified in his hands. Listen to God's words to us in Titus. I love this. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. You are God's silver. You are God's gold. You are his treasure. And he wants to purify you for a better life and better relationships and a better marriage. See, your purity isn't just about what you've done with your body. It's about what Jesus did with his. He gave his life to make us right with God. He gave his body to be broken, crucified, and buried to cancel our sins and to make us what we could not make ourselves. His death and the forgiveness of sins is still available for every impure heart to be made clean. And his blood that makes us clean does not tarnish and will not be overcome. Where sin abounds, grace even more abounds. He can make you pure from the inside out. He can forgive your sins. He can cleanse your heart. He can free you from shame and make you pure. Only when our hearts are first made pure in the Master's hands can we begin to learn how to live out that purity that he has given us. And we live out the purity God has given us by keeping God's boundaries for purity. Here's God's boundary for purity. You ready? Hebrews 13:4 lays it out very clear. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. So if you recognize we have a problem with purity and you know the destination points of those problems, with that problem with purity, and you don't want those destination points, this is Jesus' invitation to come and be purified by him and then to live into these boundaries. Now, let me paraphrase what Hebrews is saying to us. Your sexuality should be expressed in a way that honors your spouse. Sex should be kept between one man and one woman in a marriage. Anything outside of sexual behavior with your spouse in marriage is outside God's boundaries for purity. And that means if you're single, you wait. And it means if you're married, stop looking for satisfaction outside of your marriage. Is that boundary tight? Yes. Does it honor God and honor your spouse? Yes. It's a tight boundary. But within that tight boundary, God has ensured, this is the good news, that you will thrive free from shame, free from regret, free from dishonor, free from conflict, free from confusion. There is great freedom for your heart in God's boundaries. Greater freedom than there is outside of them. It always begins on the inside with a decision to do life with Jesus. And with his help, we can live into God's boundaries because that's where a pure life is going to thrive. In God's boundaries of purity, a marriage is going to thrive. Your self-perception is going to thrive. Joy and freedom are going to thrive. It was costly for God to make you pure. He gave his son to make you pure. Your purity is valuable And when something is valuable, we keep it in a safe place. I love how John Piper puts this. He says, we don't put fences around weeds. We put fences around gardens. We put boundaries on what we value. Piper says, when you stay in a hotel, you don't put your dirty socks in the hotel safe. You put your jewelry and your money in the safe. You put what is valuable to you there. Our purity, whether you're single or married, is valuable. And so God has given us boundaries to keep your purity safe. So how do we do this? In this world that we live in, where we are confronted with sexual desire and promotion of sex at every turn, how do we maintain the purity that God gives us? What are practical ways that we do this? To answer that, I want you to hear the practical reality of how purity is lived out in the life of a couple in our church. I'm really excited for you to meet these people. They are heroes of mine. Would you welcome Fernando and Medea Aguilar? Would you guys come on up? Guys, thank you so much for doing this. I love you guys. We had a conversation. Thank you, Marvin. I got to sit and have a conversation with them about this, and I told them I wish that I could have recorded that. It would have been such a gift for all of us to hear that conversation. But with a little bit of time that we have, I just want to have a conversation with you about how you maintain purity in your marriage. Let me turn this on for you real quick. Oh, it's on already. Perfect. How long you guys been married, first of all?
11 and a half years.
Awesome. And you've got two girls, right? Two daughters that you're raising?
Yes.
Awesome. I want to ask you both the same question and hear from both of you on it. And so I'll start with you, Fernando. How do you make purity practical in your life and in your marriage?
Wow. Okay. Thank you for having us up here. It's something that we've been really wanting to do for a long, long time, is share our lives and our testimony to the church, or to those that are around us, our friends and family. And so thank you for the opportunity. How I protect our marriage, yeah, is, first of all, I wear my wedding ring everywhere I go. But unfortunately, I didn't wear my wedding ring.
What happened?
I could have hit it, okay? I could have hit it, but yeah, I didn't. I want to be up front. And I knew that was coming up here, so I wanted to shine it. You know how guys, you know how your ring gets really dirty? And so I was shutting in and showering, I was cleaning it and whatnot, and I put it up and
Fernando,
dry.
Fernando, that sounds like pride to me.
No,
buddy.
Okay. All right. So I just want to get that out there. Another way that I do is that everywhere I go, I make it a point to bring my wife with me. Okay, I bring Medea. If I'm talking to someone at the grocery store or whatever, and someone helps me out, happens to be a female, whatever, and they help you out, whatever, it says, I go, wow, my wife would love that. And so we go on, and or we're at the counter, and something happens, and they ask me a question, and it happens to be a female. I go, you know what? That's my wife's favorite color. I always bring her. Always bring her up with me.
Yeah, even when she's not physically.
Even
with
then when she's not there physically.
You bring her in your thoughts.
Yes, just to make sure that they know if I'm not wearing my ring that I just, you know. So I do that. And another thing that I do is that I bring a daily reminder. Every time I bring out my wallet, I have a picture of my wife.
Oh, awesome.
So that helps. I don't know if she knew that, but I do that. And so, yeah.
Very cool.
Yes. And what else do I do? Another thing. I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
It's fair, right? It's fair. And he's a pastor, so he should know this.
Oh, he's opening
I'm
going to
read
Bible.
I want to get it right. I want to get it right. Here he goes. And it says, in Genesis 2, where is it? Genesis 2. In Genesis 2, it says, but Adam on... Here we go. But for Adam, no suitable help or helper was found. So the Lord caused Adam to fall asleep in a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of his ribs, and then he closed the place with flesh. Then the Lord made him a woman from the rib. And then he said he took it out of the man, and he brought it before man. And man said, okay, and so it says here that he brought her, okay, the woman, to the man. And he said, the man said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and she'll be called woman, and for she was taken out of man. Question for you, sir. If God put Adam to sleep, right, how did he know that Eve came from his rib?
Well, I don't know what anesthetic was like back then, Fernando, but...
Okay.
You give me your answer.
My answer is this, is that in the cool of the evening, didn't the Lord walk with Adam? Didn't they have conversations with him? Didn't he just have an intimate relationship with the Lord? I think the Lord was setting a precedent for us men, for the future, and our wives, and our family, to show that communication is so important in a marriage.
Mm.
And that even within that time frame when he was asleep and all, God loved man so much to fill him in on what was happening when he was asleep. And so with that, he was able to say, whoa, woman, you know, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, right now, you know, you were made and you came from me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so with that communication, I think it's so important to have that communication with your wife.
All right. I want your wife to talk a little bit. So, Medea, I want to ask you that same question. How do you make purity practical in your marriage?
Well, I'm in constant prayer for him. I know that... Not in a bad way, but We teach dance, so
yes.
I think
yeah.
that I trust him, but then I don't always trust the ladies that want to dance with him. So I pray for his, whatever he sees, that it doesn't go to his heart.
Yeah.
And so I pray that he would be in constant hunger for God's word and constant truth, thirst for his truth. So also, like, if we're not together and I'm traveling, I'm like, oh, my husband, like, if they want to...
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm married. This is
yeah.
my single friend
yeah.
over here. So it's like a constant thing of, you know, shining the ring or...
I love that you guys yeah. bring one another wherever you go in that way. One other quick question. Medea, before you guys were married... Was purity a priority for either of you before you met and got married when you were a single person? Was purity a priority for you then?
Sadly to say, no.
Yeah.
It wasn't a priority.
Yeah. And when did it become that? Was it when you guys got married or?
Before we got married, I asked God to purify me so he could bring me my prince.
Mm.
And just purify me of shame
awesome.
And guilt. And
awesome. You gave your heart to the Lord first, and then you learned to be pure, or to live and to prefer purity. Fernando, what about you? What before you guys got married, was purity a priority for you?
Unfortunately, no.
Yeah.
And I was looking at that, and I could see where... And I'm going to talk to the guys, young guys as well, and also husbands and uncles and all men in general. I didn't have a father that really had the priorities of that. Mm-hmm. I didn't have one. Another one didn't have friends that really kind of kept me accountable.
Right.
And I didn't have mentor. I didn't have really the strong building up of men around me to really point me to that direction.
Yeah, yeah. And without that, you're fighting alone.
Yeah, you're pretty much alone out there, a sitting duck, yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for sharing with us. Thanks for your honesty and for your willingness to share with us. Before we're done, real quick, just a few practical tips I want to give you to add to what they said. I've got just three here, and then we'll be through. First tip is this, to keep in God's boundaries for purity. Make God's purity your preference by praying for it. Make God's purity your preference by praying for it. Ask for God's help. If you look back at those words in Titus that we saw, it says God's grace appeared, and then it says training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. God forgives us, redeems us, purifies us, and then He trains us. He helps us live into the purity that He's given us. So trust Jesus and ask Him to help you. Make it a prayer daily. God, help me live in your boundaries today. God, make your purity my preference today. Number two, tip number two for living in his boundaries for purity. Make confession your practice with trusted friends. James 5:8 says it this way, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So you're not just praying for yourself alone, but you reach out and you confess your need for help to others that they might be praying for you as well. If you've never told someone that you have a problem with purity, find a trusted friend or a circle of friends and talk about it. Now make sure that the person you talk to is committed to Jesus and living a life that honors God. Don't just tell someone who isn't trying to honor God with their life or they won't understand the problem. But men, confess your sins to a brother. Women, confess your sins to a sister. Freedom and healing can begin to take place by simply telling the truth about yourself. So make confession your practice. And the third tip is this, make integrity your way by living in the light. Women, don't email, text, call, do lunch with a man who isn't your husband unless you are single and that man is a Jesus-following, God-loving, Bible-believing man with whom you're considering marriage. But don't just carry on a relationship with a man who you know is not seeking to honor God, because if he isn't seeking to honor God as his number one, he isn't going to honor you as his number two. So if it's not a relationship that honors God with purity, cut it off and move on. Make integrity your way. Men, don't hide your problem with purity. You need to set in place some alarms. If you need to put a filter on your computer, if you need to ask some people to give them permission to ask you how you're doing, do what you need to do to stay in the light and make integrity your way. If you're married, talk about it. I guarantee that if you and your spouse will strive for God's grace to be the defining factor of your lives, you will strengthen one another in your marriage. I'm not suggesting with that you become suspicious of each other. I'm just saying talk about your needs for intimacy together. Voice and display your desire for each other. Put into practice what Tom talked about last week. Pursue one another. If you will do that, you will strengthen the purity of your marriage. So don't hide what needs to be brought into the light. Guys, if you need to, get into the group we call Pure Desire. Ladies, take advantage of spaces like the women's retreat where you can talk with other women about purity. Make integrity your way. On our own, we have a problem with purity. We know that. We don't have to look for it. We can see it in ourselves. Purity begins in the heart. It begins with your relationship with God. He has made a way for you to be cleansed, forgiven, and purified by the gift of Jesus. He died to make you pure. He gave up His life so that you could live in the boundaries that He has set for purity. You gained what He did with His body for you, despite what you've done with yours. He loves people with problems. He loves men and women who need to be purified, and that is His desire, to make of you what you cannot make of yourself. If you want that new beginning right now, you can receive what Jesus has done for you. You can be forgiven. You can be cleansed. You can be pure.